Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. And I must say, aloha to you. I hope you're feeling the aloha, because I am not here today in Colorado. Hopefully it's sunshiny where you are, because it is supposed to be freaking spring, but it is snowing like a mo here in Colorado. Yep, sideways blowing snow. Just so much white falling, looks like a Peruvian sneezed. Now, it's supposed to be spring. When does spring kick in? Now, everybody goes, well, this is spring in Colorado. This is the way it is. This is why we live here. And I will say to them, yes, it probably is why I live here. I'm one of the few freaks that loves the snow. But I know people are just, they're the ones like freaking out. Like, it's spring. Where's the sunshine? I've got cabin fever. I'm ready to stab my partner in the neck with a can opener. You know those people. They're out there. They're all over Facebook. They're blowing up Facebook today with, look at this snow. I can't take it anymore. Kind of the same people yesterday when it was the earthquake in California. Did you see? Okay, here, let's back up in. The earthquake in California, what was it? Everybody was like, oh my God, that's like a 5 or a 6. And then all of a sudden it's downgraded to a 4 or whatever. But everybody's blowing up Facebook with that. You know, this California earthquake does no damage, but it ruins Facebook's feed. Just everybody, did you feel that? I jumped out of bed. I rolled out of bed. Oh my God, my picture frame is crooked. It's crazy here in California right now. Again, I say to you, just like the people that live in Colorado, you live in California. That's what you get. You get earthquakes. And unless shit falls down all around you or on top of you, it's the way it is in California. And do you really need to share it with the rest of the world? I'm sort of starting to feel that about all of Facebook. There's a lot of things that I just feel like, well, I get sucked into Facebook. I know it's probably my addictive personality. I start reading the feeds, and then I start reading responses, and I can't stop. So the next thing I know, I'm angry at myself for reading idiotic bullshit on Facebook. And a lot of people are feeling that. The people that I talk to are like, yeah, you know, I don't want to get off of it because I got friends and family and I want to share pictures. But God, is it draining. It's stealing my life, basically. So is Twitter. I love Twitter. To me, Twitter is better than Facebook. And I know those people that go, I don't get Twitter. I don't understand it. It's just stupid. No, it's not stupid. It's great. It's a good tool. Matter of fact, I'm up to, I think, almost 76,000 followers on Twitter, because you have to work Twitter. You have to tweet and tweet back and retweet and collect and follow back. Do whatever it takes. It's called social media. It's not called sitting at home or in your little cubicle and not being able to figure out why you only have 6 people that tweet and retweet your same bullshit over and over. That's the way it works. You have to expand your horizons, okay? It's the same people that never eat anything outside of Denny's or TGI Fridays or any of those chain restaurants. That's another thing that's kind of driving me nuts, is people are becoming more and more homogenized. They're just these almost just these fed little animals that do the same thing and watch the same things and eat the same things. And you go, hey, have you? No, I haven't seen that because I don't do anything outside of what I always do. They're almost like these lab rats that just run the maze of work and having their food from TGI Fridays and going home and watching Glee and American Idol, and then I must go to work tomorrow in my cubicle and tell everybody what I saw, and I must post on Facebook. OMG, I can't believe they got voted off of American Idol. How boring of an existence is it becoming for you? Step outside your freaking comfort zone. Eat something you've never had before. I heard a commercial for a cruise line the other day that it said, was it Come Back New? Because it's like, I knew what he was going to watch on TV. I knew what he was going to order at the restaurant. I knew when he ironed his shirt what spot he was going to miss, because he always missed that spot. But today, after spending a day out in the vineyards of Italy, tonight at dinner, he said, surprise me. What? Yes, that's the way life ought to be. Surprises every day. Aren't you tired of your own bullshit? Don't you want to go see a movie you've never seen before? Why do movies like Fast and Furious still continue to make money? It's the same story. They drive fast, shit blows up. Here's my $12. But yet a movie like the one I just saw, and I love, it's called The Grand Budapest Hotel. It stars Ralph Fiennes. It's directed by Wes Anderson, who did the Royal Tenenbaums and Bottle Rocket. And he did one of my favorite a year or so ago called Moonrise Kingdom. This is a great movie. It's brilliantly shot. It's brilliantly acted. There's so many guest stars doing cameos through the movie that your head just like, oh my God, that's such and such. And I'm not going to tell you who, because I don't want to ruin the movie if I can actually talk you into going into seeing it. But don't go into a movie like this expecting, well, nothing blew up. Well, I didn't see any titties. No, this is a real film. There's a difference between a movie and a film. A movie is the same shit that gets put out over and over and over. A film is cinematic art, and that's what The Grand Budapest Hotel is. It's cinematic art. Every frame of this movie, you feel like you're looking at a postcard. It is a frame-by-frame postcard. Your mind just like looks around the screen like, what am I missing? There's something gorgeous in here. There's an acting detail that you always want to be able to rewind and watch again. This movie is glorious, and you should go see it, and you should eat something besides popcorn. No, not really, because that's all I do. When I go to a movie screening, I've got to have popcorn. I'm actually one of the few movie reviewers I've noticed when I go to these screenings that gets popcorn and a soda and sits down and watches the movie like I was when I was 10 years old at a theater. I love movies. I freaking love movies. And that's why I'm telling you, The Grand Budapest Hotel, one of the best films I've seen this year. Laugh out loud. William Dafoe as the bad guy. Oh, freaking amazing. If I had to say so, and I don't, it's definitely a supporting Oscar role for me. He was brilliant in this movie. It's Grand Budapest Hotel. Check it out wherever you are. And if you're in Denver, I know it's playing locally at only two theaters. So Google it and go see this movie, The Grand Budapest Hotel. Well, you know, I just thought of something now, and it dawned on me when I was talking about the movie that I never really give away too much about the movie. I know a lot of reviewers, they'll write reviews or they'll tell reviews and they'll say, beware, spoiler alert. Well, I hate that. I don't want to be spoiled in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, I think when you review a movie, if people trust you and respect your opinion, you should just go, I liked it, go see this movie. And that should be the extent of the review. I know that sounds a little lame, but I just think that's sort of the way it ought to be. You know, and then if you have questions, you can always write me, McGrew at MSN.com. But I don't want to give away too much. I've never been like that. I used to get mad when I'd read those really long reviews in like the New York Times. I don't want to know too much about the story. I don't want to know who had a relationship with who, because then I don't go, oh, I didn't see that coming. That's what movie, there's supposed to be plot twists and these turns. And sometimes, does it bother you? That's, I guess, what I'm trying to get to. Does it bother you too? Because I will do more on these reviews. Like I probably was thinking, like I should probably say, you know, the movie is about this beautiful, brilliant, grand hotel in a fake country in Europe. It is run by this concierge, played by Ralph Fiennes, who hires a lobby boy. And the story is sort of like along the lines of the relationship of the lobby boy and the concierge and all the stuff that goes on as the hotel ages through the years and war. And see, I'm giving away too much. I don't want to do that. I just want to say, I say I liked it. And if you like the kind of stuff that I probably like, you should see it. If not, God, see, I don't know. I just want to be able to give you an opinion of the movie. Because I used to like that about Roger Ebert. I was never a big Gene Siskel, because I used to watch that Siskel and Ebert and the two thumbs up and the thumb up, thumb down. They would agree, disagree. But I always seemed to agree with Roger Ebert, who just sort of said, yeah, I liked it. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the new 2001 Space Odyssey, but it was entertaining for an hour and a half. That's sort of he was to me sort of like, yeah, I like him, so I like his opinions. I didn't need to be told why I would like the film or why I wouldn't like the film by Siskel. I'm just saying, this is a pretty good movie, and you probably ought to see it. Step outside your TGI Friday, Fast and Furious comfort zone. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Now, I'm going to make a transition noise. Transition, transition, transition. New subject. And here's a new topic. One of the big mysteries today is, where the hell is that airplane? Everybody's talking about the Malaysia airplane that has now been gone, disappeared off the face of the earth for over a week now. How does that happen? How does a plane totally disappear from the face of the earth? Has anybody asked Siri where the plane is? I'm thinking maybe it got inside a clothes rack and is hiding. Because that's what I used to do as a kid. Nobody could ever find me in a clothes rack. I know both of those are stupid answers. But I really think they should get Scully and Mulder on it. This is an X-File case if I've ever seen one. How does a plane just disappear? It was nowhere near the Bermuda Triangle. Because, you know, that's where planes go to disappear. Yeah, but all these theories are going around. And I spoke to a friend of mine who is a pilot who flies international. He said to me, I've got no clue. I don't know how this happens. Planes are designed to be found with all these satellites and all the pictures and all the beeper and all the radar and all the internet connection where the plane talks to the satellites and it's all flown autopilot. How the hell does this happen? Even if it hit and blew up and sank, there'd still be something going beep, beep, beep. I'm over here. Beep, beep. Hey. You're getting warm. Beep, beep. You're getting cold. Beep, beep, beep. You're getting warm again. How the hell has this plane not been found? Again, I'll go back to ask Siri. She knows everything. No, seriously. The reason I keep saying ask Siri is I saw an article the other day about people that just ask Siri weird, stupid questions. Much like that. Siri, why can't they find the Malaysia plane? Probably because they're a bunch of dumbasses. But here, I found a list of some questions that people say you should definitely ask Siri just for the humorous responses you get. Now, they go like this. Siri, do you love me? Yeah, have we all asked that one? That one or, will you marry me, Siri? And we always get that same answer back. I don't think I know you that well, Steve, or whatever you program it to say, because people, you know, they're programming their phone to come back with, I don't think I know you that well, Master. Yeah, other things like that. I don't know you that well, you massive stud Hulk. But wait, y'all don't need to know mine. Does Santa exist, Siri? Obvious one. Another one is, Siri, when is the end of the world? Siri, who makes the best phone? Okay, really? Siri, you're going to ask Siri, who works for Apple, who makes the best phone? I'm going to have to do that. Siri, are you her? Okay, I have to explain that question for some of you. Her is the movie based on the operating system. You know, when the guy falls in love with his phone, that would be her. So you're asking Siri, Siri, are you her? That's another one I might want to do just to see the answer. Goofy one. Siri, does a bear shit in the woods? I want to ask these just to see the answer. So some of these I know are going to be obvious answers, but I definitely want to see what this is. The next one. Siri, how many licks does it take to get to the actual center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? Even the old Al knows that one. Hey, Al, how many? Oh, wait. That commercial might be too old for some of you. Ooh, sorry. Next one. And this one is pretty obvious. Siri, what is the meaning of life? I like that commercial. I know this is a tangent, but I like that commercial where the lady asks smartest kid, hey, smartest kid, what is the meaning of dinner? Or whatever that thing is. Have you seen that one? The smartest kid, goofy little old kid with a beard. It's kind of a freaky-ass commercial, actually. And here's another Siri question. And you have to say this one with your best creepy. I'm riding around in a neighborhood in a white van. I'm wearing a wife beater tee, and I'm sweating really bad while I'm drinking cheap-ass beer voice. Okay, you ready? Siri, what are you wearing? Oh, and here's one that every woman's going to want to hear. Hey, Siri, will you make me a sandwich? I got to find the comeback on that one. It's probably something like, what, are your legs broke? I work too. And here's a question that every woman loves to ask. They just, for whatever reason, they have to ask this question. They need to know. I don't think their life could go on, or they couldn't possibly survive if they didn't know this answer. So this is a perfect question. Ladies, from now on, why don't you ask Siri this question instead of your husband or boyfriend? And there'll probably be less problems or tension in your relationship. So you ready? Here's the big question, ladies. What are you thinking? That's a good one right there. And before I give up on the Siri thing here, I've got one more question. Siri, whatever happened to Scott Baio? No, I mean, really, seriously, Siri, what did happen to Scott Baio? Because I was reading the news the other day, and I came across an article with the headline, Scott Baio's TV show canceled. What? Two what's? He had a show? What? And it's been canceled? What? I didn't even know he had a show. Maybe that's why it's canceled. Yeah, here, let me read you the article I found. Former Happy Days star Scott Baio's TV comedy has been canceled after 3 seasons. Okay, 3 seasons? I didn't even know he had one. 3 seasons in, I should have known he had one. Okay, let's continue. See Dad Run will end later this year when all 13 episodes of the final season have aired. In the show, Baio plays a successful actor who is forced to become a stay-at-home father when his soap star wife's career takes off. The show, which debuted in 2012, who knew, also featured cameos from Baio's former Happy Days director, Gary Marshall, co-star Ted McGinley, and from actress Raven Simone. Okay, let's analyze this. Here's another reason it's probably getting canceled. Even the article doesn't tell you what channel it's on. I have no idea. I might have watched the 3rd and final season had this article mentioned where I might find this show, but no. Okay? So, Scott, there's your problem right there. Your publicist, your channel, whatever, I'm going to blame you. Dude, I haven't even seen you tweet about it. I don't know if I follow you or not. But that's the problem right there. Did you know Scott Baio had a show? Okay. Google, bitches. Find out where it was. Find out about it. I bet it's gone Netflix. I bet you could watch the first 2 seasons on Netflix. Nah, who gives a shit? And now for another transition noise. Transition, transition, transition. New subject. All right, McGrew, what is up with this transition noise and the... Don't you have actual sound effects on your computer that you could make, like an actual produced transition? Yeah, I got that. I don't want to. I'm feeling creative today. So, Transition. I just scared Podcat with the noises. Maybe I ought not do this. You know Podcat? Yeah, I haven't even talked about Podcat in a while. As you know, when I started this podcast, Remasculate, a year or so ago, actually it's probably longer than that now, I started it with just my laptop and one little microphone and Podcat. The little cat would sit in my lap, and I talk, and I tell you guys stories because, you know, I just left radio, and I was feeling like, screw them. I still want to broadcast to my friends. So I started this podcast right here, Remasculate. Well, Podcat has been a big part of this podcast, and now we've added Rain to the family. Rain is a cat we got from a shelter, so we're not really sure what it is. And you guys that have listened before, you know I've talked about Rain, or I hope I have. If not, Rain is, looks like he's probably Maine Coon. He's big, big cat, got the M on his head. And he has sort of chased Podcat out of the situation. Podcat, now, whenever Rain comes around, kind of like this, screw it, you can have him. And then Podcat leaves and Rain gets up in my lap. Now, Rain has been up in my lap today and off my lap. And some of you guys saw that I post a picture earlier today that Podcat got on my keyboard of my computer while I was recording this. I guess it's the heat off the laptop on this cold, snowy day here in Denver. So they've both these cats have been making the podcast a little difficult today. But I also want to say I myself have made the podcast a little difficult. For whatever reason, I've come down here and I start to record and I think nobody gives a shit about what I have to say today. And I know that's a psychological thing that goes through my own head. Because I have fun with you guys, and I know you listen. I can tell by the numbers that I get on Podbean and Stitcher and iTunes and the requests that I get of like, hey, where's the new podcast? But for whatever reason, something inside me has not been making me feel like what I have to say is important or that you're going to care. But today, I was like, screw it. I've got some funny things I want to talk about. I've got to get down to the basement. Studio, basement. However, see, it's been a long time. I don't even go to the studio. Basement. And give you guys a podcast. So I'm here, and I'm glad I am, because it feels good. And that's what it is. It's back to that old saying of a body in motion stays in motion. A body at rest stays in rest. So I think as I was resting, I kept thinking, nah, it doesn't matter. Nah, that's not funny. Nah, they won't give a shit about that. And then today, I jumped up, got coffee, and said, yo, let's do a podcast, mother... So I'm here, and I'm doing it. And one of the things I want to talk about today, before I leave, is Butterfly. Butterfly is our... I say our... You know, Miss Thang, Janet, and I. I bought it as a toy poodle. Y'all probably know that. But everybody swears it's a teacup poodle, which when I go back to the vet, I'm going to ask because it's just too small. Anyway, she's been having a bad case of shit mouth. And by that means stinky breath. Everybody in here that who has a cat or a dog, at some point you've got a whiff of their breath and you thought, oh my God, did you just eat something dead or did a rat crawl in your mouth and poop? Well, that's what she was having. So I took her to the dentist and the dentist goes, oh, she's got a bad case of shit mouth. That's a quote. So I had to go see the doggy dentist and the doggy dentist pulled 12 teeth, bone scraping, little tiny poodle. Oh, little thing. She only weighs 4 pounds. And that's something else I didn't know until I was talking to the dentist. Did you know these small dogs have all the teeth that a big dog has? I did not know that. No wonder they get shit mouth so easy. the dentist said to me, you know, these things started off as like prehistoric, you know, animals, wolves and shit, and then we've bred them down to these tiny little things. Well, now you got all those wolf teeth just shoved into one tiny little mouth. That's right. They still have as many teeth as a big dog. So they're just like, no wonder I'm just angry all the time. I just little teeth in my... So that's the deal. Had to have 12 teeth removed, and she's doing all right. But you know what? That shit gets expensive. I want to be one of those people that, you know, I love my pet. I'm going to take care of my pet. I will do whatever is best for my pet. But sometimes you go, I got to do what's best for my wallet. Because it would have been cheaper. And don't judge me on this. Don't think badly. It would have been cheaper to have her put to sleep, which I would have never done. Never, ever, ever. But now I can see why some people just treat their dogs like dogs. Like, well, God intended its little teeth to fall out. And it will eat whatever it can for a while, and then the dog will go ahead and pass just like God intended it to. That's why, you know, people just have that attitude that they're just animals and they'll live this long and let their teeth fall out. And I can't do that. I wish I could. But I can't. And that's why when I was at the radio, I used to always want to do like a charity thing for animals and to pay pet bills. Because every one of these meetings would ever be in, they always suck up to the child. And I don't mean this in a bad way either, so don't take it wrong. But everything's about for the children. It's all for the children. Every promotional meeting you'd have, it's like, well, we could get diapers for babies of single mothers. Or we could just tell, hey, ladies, stop having babies. No, couldn't do that. So it's always for that, always for the babies. We could raise money for formula for the babies, and I always thought, what about the dogs? People love their dogs. Poor people love their pets just like people that can afford to get their pet taken care of. And so that's what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to raise money to pay the vet bills of poor people. Can you imagine the heartbreak you would have if you were somebody that just loved your dog or your kid loved their dog and it gets hit by a car and the vet says, well, we could save its life. It could live another 12 years, but it's going to be $2,000. And you go, oh, hey, kid, we got to get you a new dog. Do you see what I'm saying? I wanted to raise money and pay bills for the poor ass people and their poor ass dog. But it never really happened. So I posted on Facebook that I wanted to do that. And I was happy to see that people came back and said there are actually clinics all around the country that do that. Yay! Yay! I didn't know that. So if you're a poor person or you know somebody that can't afford a vet bill, Google that affordable vet care. And that's what Obama should have done right there. We need affordable vet care. God damn it, that's what we should have had right there. Affordable vet care. So that's my point. I know I'm rambling. It's getting toward the end of the podcast and I'm getting a little woozy here. But that's what I wanted all along on radio as my pet project, pun intended, was to raise money for the animals. Okay, not that the kids aren't important. It just seems like that's just the go-to of everything. It's always the button. It's even like if a Congress wants to pass a bill, it's for the children. You know, not what's for the best. It's for the children. So, anyway, take care of your pets and check their teeth. I didn't know you had to brush your teeth. I thought it was probably a good idea, but I didn't know it was a requirement. And especially if you got one of these little dogs who get shit mouth really easy. Brush their teeth. Got a cat? Brush their teeth. Get regular dental appointments for your pet. Not only you. Matter of fact, when you make a dentist appointment for yourself to get your shit mouth checked, make sure you make an appointment for your pet. And just write it in the calendar. Shit mouth day. And you'll both be taken care of. Guys, I appreciate you listening to Remasculate. Sorry it took so long to get one out. I'll get on it. You know, to me, it's much more fun when I can get a guest in here. We kind of have a little chat back and forth, both kind of rant about things. And that's what I kept waiting. I should get a guest. I shouldn't. I don't have time. They're too far away. Nobody's want to come to the studio. I'm going to get a guest. I think tomorrow I'm going to try to get a comic, a Denver comic, and we'll sit down and we'll record. Matter of fact, I think it might be Chuck Roy. That's who it's probably going to be, Chuck Roy, if I can get him to do it. We'll sit down, we'll record. So thanks again for listening. Share with your friends. Please share. If this podcast isn't the one you want to share with your friends, there's a crap load of them back there on the Remasculate podcast page. Share with your friends. Help me grow this. Help me feel like, oh, God damn it, I do need to do more of these. People want them. Write me at McGrew@msn.com. You'll find me on Twitter, @SteveMcGrew. There's a Remasculate on Twitter. It's the @ sign, @Remasculate. And I'm only telling this to the people that don't really know Twitter, because I bitched about you guys earlier. So anyway, thanks. We'll see you again. I got to go. I'm going to make a transition noise.
Oh, won't you come with me and remind